perhaps you want to give the gift of good taste in music this Christmas.
And then the hitman standing outside of heaven waiting for God to come and get me. I'm too uncouth, unschooled to the rules and too gumshoe, too much of a newcomer and too uncool, like Shadow and LaVille, I battle with it well.
You might be interested in passing along the work of that gentleman, Lupe Fiasco.
Or perhaps not.
Maybe not. On this New Music Tuesday, he joins Mary J. Blige, Weezer frontman Rivers Cuomo, and Radiohead, who have, guess what, released a second disc. They could all be potential stocking stuffers. Not for Ture, though, just note to self. Andy Langer is music critic for Esquire magazine and a friend of the Bryant Park Project. Hi, Andy.
Good morning. I'm a big Ture fan, so I'm just going to defer to him all morning.
Please, Andy, tell him what you really think about Lupe. Come on now. He's great.
Well, first, let's give people a little background about Lupe Fiasco, because they might not know who he is.
He's
from
great
Chicago.
On paper, right?
He's from Chicago.
He's
a sophomore effort. Name of the record is called The Cool. Doesn't drink.
Doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't want to be around people who drink or smoke.
So, Andy, she asked facetiously, what does he rap about if he doesn't drink, smoke, or isn't into groupies?
Well, you know, there's always himself. And you know, I don't understand how sort of the hipster Pitchfork Nation folks like him as much as they do. It's strange to me that, you know, he's somehow become the alternative hip-hop poster boy, hasn't sold a lot of records, but has gotten a ridiculous amount of press. And, you know, this record's not a sophomore slump. It's not a great record either.
Well, let's play another track that sort of picks up on what you were talking about. He wrote this track called Dumb It Down, where he seems to readily acknowledge that he doesn't have the most commercial appeal. Let's play that track.
You're going over Ted's Lou. They telling me that they don't feel you. We ain't graduated from school. Them big words ain't cool. Yeah, I heard me and this. Make a song for the. Tell them we don't care about the weather. You'll sell more records if you.
So he would sell more records if he dumbed it down, Andy. Is that true?
If you got to tell people you're not dumbing it down, then you probably are, right?
I just wish we didn't have to hear so much of that. I mean, he seems to want to be good and want to do things, and then I try to listen to the records, and I'm like, can I go back to listen to something else? Kanye, Jay-Z, anything else?
So, Andy, would you recommend this or not? We know Ture wouldn't.
You know, there's a couple tunes on here. I mean, there's one, this Hello Goodbye, that Uncle, the UK production team that do rock records, you know, they produced that, and it's actually really good. And there's some stuff that's got some really complex strings and other stuff that's got real bubblegum poppy beats. But overall, he's just all over the place and too all over the place for a cohesive record that's worth more than downloading a couple singles.
So maybe this is where iTunes is your friend. You find the one or two songs you like, download that, maybe save the rest of your money for something else. Could be. All right, Rivers Cuomo, Alone, the home recordings of Rivers Cuomo, 1992 to 1997. He's an interesting guy. He quit the industry to study at Harvard. He took a two-year vow of celibacy and let us all know about it. He ditched the band when they were pretty popular. Is the release as interesting as his offstage persona?
No, it's interesting if you follow recording contracts and the quotas and whether or not they get the right number of records out that's in their contract, and that's what this is. This is a contractual obligation filler.
Well, it's all about that nowadays, though, right? It's becoming like baseball or basketball, like Radiohead's out of their contract, so they're going to do some free agent stuff. Jay-Z's leaving Def Jam. Madonna's moving to a new. I mean, that's becoming as much as part of the whole game as the music itself, right?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the folks at the Weezer label, you know, believed that there would be a market for this kind of thing because they've been traded so much online. You know, his demos have leaked out over the years and been traded a lot. And earlier this year, a song leaked and did really well at places like the Hype Machine. And so I think they thought there was a market for this, and it's good for the band and that they don't have to turn in another full-length record to fulfill their contract. And it's good for fans who, you know, wanted this stuff and wanted an actual legit copy of it. But beyond that, beyond fans, I'm not sure it's that necessary.
Yeah, so fans, though, might like this. So they went, it's like music from the attic. He found and put on this release the demo from Buddy Holly, which, of course, was a huge Weezer hit. Let's hear a little bit of the demo. Okay, that's enough. I don't know if I'd spend on that.
No.
Does that mean I'm not a fan?
No, I mean, you've got to really want that peek behind the curtain, the peek into Rivers, you know, creative voice. And I'm not sure that, you know, the process, I'm not sure that anybody other than super fans needs that. And Ice Cube's The Bomb, he has a cover of that that's so horrible you yearn for the days of Dynamite Hack and their cover of Boys in the Hood, which was lasted all of about a minute. It's terrible.
I like that you didn't even go searching for some music journalist word to make it sound poetic. It's just horrible. All right, let's go on to something else, that little ear sorbet now. Mary J. Blige, 8th album out, Growing Pains. Let's listen to a track. Maybe those are mine. Keep sending messages, you're wanting me, but instant messages to me is cold. Okay, so that track was produced by Pharrell's Till the Morning. At this point, I'm wondering, does a Mary J. even need a Pharrell?
Talk about ear sorbet, too, right? It's so nice. And
yes.
I miss kind of the Mary who was in pain and singing for the downtrodden secretaries
of
the world.
But she's moved on. She's empowered. She's singing about this new phase in her life. She's found a good man who loves her for her.
Do you want to hear Billie Holiday sing happy songs?
I don't know. What do you think, Andy?
I mean, I think in some ways, you know, in every way, he's right. I mean, this is the sort of Latification, or however you would say that, the View/Oprah version of Mary J. Blige.
I call it the Suze Orman groove.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, if that's, you know, there's obviously a place for positivity, a place for her coming through what she came through. And, you know, what happens when you're happy and you have to make records? Well, this is the answer. And for folks that aren't going to compare it to the rest of her catalog and aren't going to say, hey, I really need something, you know, downtrodden and depressing, then this is good, positive, well-produced, you know, single after single.
I'm having a light bulb or an aha moment, as Oprah would say. Maybe there's a gender split here. I like seeing Mary J. empowered and happy and singing about it and being all positive. I just think she deserves that at this point in her life.
Deserves that at this point in her life, perhaps, but, you know, what powered her, what made her great, who she spoke for, it's like she switched aisles, you know, like a politician. She was representing a constituency, a part of your emotions. Now she's not doing that.
Maybe she wants to bring them along with her to happiness.
The Latifahcation.
Maybe she wants another 8 Grammy nominations.
That would be true.
Latifahcation again? I just love that word. I mean, another group that's changing their stripes a little bit, Radiohead, you know, they've been so dark and electronic. And, you know, now with In Rainbows, it's much brighter, less electronic. They just sent out the disc box, which if you paid what you wish, and I paid £7. Andy, what did you pay for In Rainbows?
I paid about £6,
okay,
which makes me a little cheaper than you.
Good for you. No,
I paid nothing because I'm not in the Radiohead bandwagon. I know that's supposedly not the cool thing to say, but I'm just not.
I have security, please?
Just not.
Oh, good Lord, lady. Well, I paid $80
for
the Radiohead disc box. Can you play
a teeny
bit of Bangers and Mash?
Whatever turns you on, whatever gets you up, chief of police, a vice chancellor.
That's my boy Tom York rocking out. Andy, what do you think of the new Radiohead disc that's just come out?
Well, I think that tune is grittier than anything on, you know, either of the records.
That's
meaning
right.
The original In Rainbows or this extra disc. And it actually adds something to the first disc. The rest of the tunes, not so much. I mean, you know, if you needed to buy the big box set, which, you know, you've done yourself a mitzvah by doing so, and you've given extra money to the band, and you're a completist and you're a fan, then the second disc is going to be fine. If you're looking for revelations, there's not much on here other than that Bangers and Mash and the beautiful packaging. And the beautiful packaging is the reason to own this second disc. I mean, they're single-handedly bringing back album packaging with that second disc and the way this thing is collected. But the story of this record is going to be the story of this record. It's how we bought it,
right,
not really what's on it.
Andy Langer is the music critic for Esquire magazine. Thanks for coming on by, Andy.
Thank you.
I know you also had a band that you wanted to talk a little bit about, so maybe we'll get you to blog about it. Who is it?
Birdman, five-star stunner. He's the putative father or virtual father of the man we talked about yesterday. Wheezy F Baby.
All right, so that's probably going to be on our blog. We'll make you do that before you leave. Teray, thanks a lot. What is it?
It's the Bryant Park Project, not, as my mom says, the Bryant Park Projects.
Oh, we're at npr.org/Bryant Park.